first of all, I'd like to say I hope to be able to share. You know, I told you what I felt in my heart, that light dawns in the spirit. And I've sensed some things in my spirit, and I'll do my very best to put it into words of what I really feel the Lord is wanting to say. I want to bring to our remembrance something that I've shared before, and I know others have. And that is that we are in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. I mentioned this before, that two things have been consistent since the beginning. That is that God has been seeking and man has been hiding. That there's a part of our nature, any part of us that's unredeemed, any part of us that's still in darkness, is going to be repulsed by the light of God. And Scripture says God is light, in him dwelleth no darkness at all. And everything that does make manifest, everything that is revealed by light and everything that does make manifest is light. And what light does is it reveals, it exposes to the core. And you look at that scripture that says, he that does evil hates light, neither comes to it, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth will come to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest as having been wrought in God. So there's that, you know, it says, as we behold him, it says in, I think, the third chapter of Corinthians, I think maybe Second Corinthians, but it says, as we behold him, we're changed into that image from glory to glory, as by the glory of the Lord, as we behold the Lord. But there's a part in our nature that is, would rather be doing something for God or be busy for God or do anything but to come into his presence, because in his presence is absolute exposure. People that have been to heaven say that in heaven there's no secrets, not a secret thought in the mind. Every single thought of the mind is absolutely known by everybody. There's nothing hidden. And the light that's up there is not the light of the sun or moon, because it says there's no sun or moon in heaven. It's the glory of God. It's the light of that kingdom. And the glory of God and the light that is in God in his very nature is a light that is much more exposing than natural light would ever be to the darkness around. It goes deeper than just physical. It goes physical, soul, spirit, deep, absolute exposure. There's nothing hidden. Henry Gruber shared that when he was in heaven. He said, everything in heaven loves to serve.
I'm sorry.
Everything in heaven loves to serve and serves to love. That all of heaven is absolutely saturated with people and with everything there, whether it be the plants, whether it be the trees, everything just absolutely poured out to serve and to love. That's what it's all about. But anyway, I really feel like in my heart that there's a really deep dealing going on, and God is trying to bring us into full light, into the light of God. And there are parts of our nature, any part of us that is where there's darkness, where there's an alliance with the world, where there's an alliance with the devil, where there's self-life, we have an enmity with God. The carnal man is at enmity with God. When it says in the scripture that in Hebrews 12 that without holiness no man shall see the Lord, that word see in the Greek is a word that means with eyes wide open, no man's going to see the Lord. Now look at Moses on the mountain, when the Lord appeared to him and put him in the cleft of a rock, and he says, I can't show you I'll let you see, as it were, my after glory, or just the hinder part of my person, but I can't show you. And there's going to come a point when it says, without holiness, no man will see. Well, eyes wide open. Can you imagine? Eyes wide open, beholding the majesty and glory of the King who has humbled himself to look on the heavens and the earth and has created all things. But I really believe right now that there's something that God wants to put his finger on in our lives right now. And we're at a point when the path in the road is forking. There's a fork in the road right ahead of all of us. And at this point, I think of that scripture. I'm going to share something. The scripture in Matthew, and it may not all apply to us, but when John the Baptist spoke to the Pharisees, he turned and he said, you generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Bring forth therefore fruit to show your repentance. And think not to say within in yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And behold, now the axe is laid at the root of every tree. Every tree, therefore, that will not bring forth good fruit will be hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, the shoes of whom I am not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor, gather the wheat into the garner, and cast the chaff into unquenchable fire. But what the part there that, where he said, behold, the axe is now laid at the root of every tree. Every tree that will not therefore bring forth good fruit will be hewn down, cast into the fire. And that sounds pretty severe, but you see the same thing in the 15th chapter of John when he said, I am the true vine and you are branches. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. If a branch does not abide in me, it is withered, and then men do gather them and they're thrown in the fire. A branch that doesn't bring, but the branches that bring forth fruit, he purges them that they may bring forth more fruit. And God is right now sorting out in his body. You know, we've heard about the sealing of the Lord and the visitation that God is getting ready to do on a people. You know, whether we're speaking of the bride or the man child, that's a remnant. It's not everybody that is sitting in a pew in some religious situation. It talks about those that follow the Lamb. Wherever he goes, they follow the Lamb. And right now, there's something going on. I heard a brother give a testimony the other day, and he said a woman had a vision in Puerto Rico and wrote to him about it. And I listened to this testimony, and it was a good testimony. And she said that the Lord was speaking to her about the man child, and that he was sealing these people, and that right now that there was a sealing going on of those that were going to be vessels in this hour that could bear the glory of God, that would be overcomers, and that the Lord showed her that nothing could touch them. They would move in great and mighty authority and great anointing, and nothing could touch them. And the Lord said, and I'll let you know just this much, that in Puerto Rico, there's less than 50. So this is, it is a remnant. That's where this woman was from, Puerto Rico, and she gave this testimony. But I've sensed this in my spirit very strongly right now. I feel God is, Angie and my wife and I are both feeling pressed in the spirit right now, and the Lord is, you know, when you, I'm going to share a couple of testimonies. When you're herding cattle, this is an interesting analogy, but I've been out in the ranches in eastern Montana, and when they're getting ready to do a drive, and you know, whether they're branding cattle or whatever they're doing, everybody does it a little different, but when they start kind of pushing them in a certain direction, and the cattle are walking across the big wide open spaces in that. And then they bring them in. Before long, they're in a big field. They're all getting into a field. And then they're pushing them a little farther, and now they're in a giant corral. And then the only way out of that corral is this little narrow chute. And there's no way. You can't go to the right. You can't go to the left. You can't go backwards. And that narrow chute goes down. And then the bar drops in front of these cattle. One drops behind them, and something goes around their neck. And they get branded or castrated or whatever it is they're doing to these cattle. But we've been in places where we've wandered, and we're going in a good direction. We're headed it, and we're being pushed, as it were, led, pushed. But we're getting to a place where we're getting the restrictions are becoming more and more narrow. And we're going to be in a place where we can't turn to the right or to the left. Where if we're going to follow the Lord in this day, we're going to be in a place where we have. I think of Peter, the scripture in Peter about Peter in John, when I think it's John 20 or something like this. But Jesus, after Peter had denied the Lord, and he said to the brothers, "I'm going fishing." And so they were, "We're going with you." So they all went back to the old trade. They're going fishing again. They're out in the boat, and they took nothing. I'm sure the Lord had something to do with that. And in the morning, they look over and see someone on the shore. And he says, hey, children, have you any meat? And they said, no. He said, well, cast your net on the side of the boat. And he cast their net. And they were filled with giant fish. And John turns and says, it's the Lord. So Peter threw himself in the water, swam for shore. And anyway, the Lord said, well, and he already had fish on the coals. I think that's pretty interesting. He didn't need to go fishing. But anyway, he said, well, go ahead, pull in your fish. So the rest of the boys brought the fish in, and Peter pulled the net in, 153 great fishes. And then Peter, after dinner, he says, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. And he says, well, feed my lambs. And then he said, again, a second time, Peter, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, you know I love you. He says, feed my sheep. And he said a third time, Peter, lovest thou me? And he was grieved. And he said, Lord, you know I love you. You know all things. He said, feed my lambs. And then he said this. And this is, I think this is something the Spirit is speaking to every one of his children right now. Peter, when you were young, you girded yourself. And you went wherever you wanted. But when you're older, another is going to gird you and take you where you would not, thus signifying the death with which you was to glorify God. This thing of right now, God is calling a people to a death. Jesus, we talked about Jesus. The servant's not greater than his Lord. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebub, what are they going to call the servants? He says, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. You're going to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. They're going to kill you thinking they do God a service, you know. God's calling us to a death, and it may not be physical death as Peter and some of these disciples were called to in martyrdom. But I want to read a scripture. I'm going to read it just because I want to get this right here. It's in John 12, and it's... he says, Jesus, the 23rd verse of John 12, he says, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now, he's getting ready to go to the cross, and he says that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, I say to you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by heard it. And they said it thundered. Others said an angel spake. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. For now is the judgment of this world, and the prince of this world shall be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me, thus signifying the death that he should die. He says to Peter, thus signifying the death with which he was to glorify God. Here's Paul the Apostle said, I'm now ready to be offered, and my departure is at hand. I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, and not only me, but all that love his appearing. He said, I'm ready to be offered. He's talking about his life as a martyr being offered upon offered as an offering and a sweet-smelling savor to God. You know, it says in John 15, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and that your fruit remain. Jesus says, if your corn of wheat falls into the ground, unless it does, it abides alone, but if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. So bringing forth much fruit is what is going to bring the glory. It's going to bring glory to God. And right after Jesus speaks of this corn of wheat, the voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. There's a we all talk about the wonderful power of God. We talk about the manifestation of Christ. We talk about the great visitation of the Lord that's going to come both in our lives and on this earth. But you look in the scripture when he says in there, and some men will say, how are the dead raised? And with which body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. And that which thou sowest is not the body that shall be, but it may perchance be wheat or some other grain. And God gives it a body that has pleased him, to every seed his own body. The most amazing type and shadow that we have, you know, that corn of wheat, that little, you look at a little piece of corn, and that thing goes into the ground, never to be seen again. It's in obscurity, it's in darkness, and right in that place, a true death takes place. But out of that death, what comes forth out of it, that wheat, is probably a 7 or 8 foot tall stalk of corn that brings forth probably hundreds of kernels of corn on a ear of corn. And a wheat, similar thing. But that, I believe, when I was out, I went out this today, I have a little place, a kind of a prayer place that I go and I have a little stove and I sit there. And that scripture came to me very clearly today. And I hadn't been thinking about that at all, except a corn of wheat falling to the ground and die, it abides alone. And God is wanting, you want the resurrection life of Jesus. And the theology of this is not going to count, not in this matter. God's calling us to be planted in the likeness of his death, that we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. He wasn't talking about a nice theological position where he says, except a man deny himself and take up his cross, he cannot be my disciple. He wasn't talking about wearing something around your neck. He was talking about dying on it. Because if you want to see the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, this is a faithful saying that if you be dead with him, you'll live with him. If you suffer with him, you'll reign with him. If you want to see the manifestation of Jesus Christ in your life, it's going to come by the death of yours truly, and not in a theological position, but a place of utter and complete surrender. Jesus Christ, when he came on this earth, he said, I delight to do thy will. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He said, I do nothing of myself. The words I speak are not my own. The Father works. Hitherto I work. And we have gotten somewhat, with all of us, have had certain varying mixtures of a hybrid gospel in this nation. But when you come to Jesus in China, or you come to Jesus in Iran, they get a pretty good idea about becoming a disciple right away, because they may be dead 30 days later. The bottom line is, brothers and sisters, that the servant has little to say about his destiny and what he's called to do. He's told, speaks about apprehending that for which Jesus Christ apprehended you. And right now, brothers and sisters, God is bringing a people. And we talk about that man-child company and the bride company. Brother, that's going to be a people that have been so planted in Christ, so dead to their own concept. In heaven, there is no self-consciousness. Self is not even thought of. Self is gone. Because love seeks not its own. True love of God, true, the nature of Jesus Christ is, I delight to do thy will. It's not to do my will. And this whole American dream and all of our, you know, our ambitions and our pleasures and all the things that we have, it's all about me. But God is calling a people who are going to come to Christ and are going to fall so in love with this glorious being that has created all things with the word of his power, and that is by his awesome splendor and mercy has been willing to, by the blood of Jesus Christ, blot out our transgressions, wipe our slate clean, and by the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ, to have a hope of dwelling with him in eternal kingdom. But brother, this is not for the faint-hearted. He's the author of eternal salvation to those that obey him. Again and again, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Jesus said, I delight to do thy will. It's those that do his will. For many will come unto him in that day and say, Lord, didn't we prophesy in that day in thy name? And we cast out devils in thy name. We did many marvelous works. These weren't Baptists, brother. They're casting out devils and prophesying. But he says, I know you not. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And then he says, he therefore that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods arose, and the winds blew, and the wind and beat upon the house, and it stood, but was founded on a rock. But he that heareth these sayings of mine, but does not obey them, is like a foolish man without a foundation, that built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods arose, the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the ruin of it. And brothers and sisters, the vehement testing has come. This is the time. It's not next year. It's now. And God is trying people right now to see whether we will obey him, whether we will keep his commandments. And there is a sealing going on. I sense it in my spirit. There's a sealing going on. I'm being pulled in my spirit like I've never been pulled before in my life. And my ticket ain't punched, brother. I'm going to tell you, my ticket ain't punched. It says, he that endures until the end shall be saved. We have to finish this race, brothers and sisters. We're not going to be able, this is the most difficult hour in human history. And I believe that God is calling a people right now, and with that sealing is going to come a grace that they've never known, a divine enablement that they've never known, an anointing that they've never known. Vision, clarity, eternal perspective, open vision to see beyond the veil, that the Lord would manifest himself in a fullness that's never been revealed in a people before. And God's no respecter of persons. If they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled, when you seek me with all of your heart, you'll find me. I would that you would earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. God is calling a people, and he says, agonize is the word in the Greek, to enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. But because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, the walk itself is narrow. Few there be that find it. All the prophecies I've heard about the end days, it's few will find it. Few are going to endure. And brothers, it's not going to be by your strength. It's not going to be by your grace. It's going to be by, like it says in the 18th chapter of Proverbs, through desire. A man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. There's got to be that cry of the heart that says, Father, I must know you. I must walk with you. Lord God, I yearn to bear eternal fruit, Father. To please you, to glorify your name, to be that corn of wheat planted in the ground, that you might be glorified because much fruit comes out of my death. Lord God, that I might have that selfless love that seeks not its own. Lord God, where there's darkness in my heart, Father, shine your light in there. Bring the glory of God into my darkness. Drive out of this vessel everything that does offend, everything that does iniquity, everything that has alliance with this world, everything, Lord God, that is an offense to you. Reveal it. Drive it out. Change my heart. You said you can transform and bring water out of a rock. You can quicken the dead and call those things which be not as though they were. You can speak to a valley of dry bones and command flesh to come upon them and sinew upon them. Breathe upon them the breath of life and command them to stand a mighty army. Do this work, Lord God. Bring water out of this rock, Lord God. Transform these dry bones, Lord God. Turn the valley of rock into standing water. God, who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Command light, Lord God, to shine out of the darkness of my heart, out of the darkness of my nature. Deliver me from all of the ways that I am dull in spirit and dull in mind. And Lord God, give me a pure, passionate, burning desire for the living God, for the glory of God, for your eternal kingdom, Lord God. Whatever it takes, Lord God. Lord, I take this pearl of great price, extract the price of it from my being. I must have it. Lord God, it must be. There's got to be that burning passion. The word fervent in spirit is boiling in the Greek. It's hot, boiling, fervent in spirit. Brothers and sisters, nothing else will suffice right now. We've got to, if our hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Whatever it is that keeps you from that separate, set-apart place right now. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, he says, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men will be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Brothers and sisters, we're going into the narrow chute right now. And it's not going to be the broad way. It's Peter, I'm calling you to the death with which you're going to glorify God. God is going to be, you look at the Lord Jesus Christ. This is amazing to me when it says in there, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He's taken from prison, from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he is cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. And because he had done no sin, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. And listen to this. And yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Excuse me. What is this? What is it? It pleased the Lord. The death with which he was to glorify God. Brother, the Lord has called us to the same walk he's walked. He's called us to bear his cross and to resurrect in the newness of life. And that out of the death of yours truly, just like out of Christ's death, comes forth much life. That corn of wheat Christ planted in the ground, and out came the church of Jesus Christ revealed in the book of Acts and on through history. And brother, out of your death is going to come forth a resurrection life and a fruitfulness that you've never heard of before. And in this hour, God is getting ready to manifest his glory. He said to the church in Thyatira, he that overcometh, I will give him power over the nations. He shall rule them with the rod of... No, it says he that... No, it doesn't say that. Excuse me. I missed a word there. He said to the church of Thyatira, he that overcometh and keepeth my works to the end. That's the thing. Keepeth my works unto the end. I will give him power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And as the vessels of a potter, they shall be dashed to shivers, even as I have received of my Father. There's two times in the scripture that it speaks of Jesus Christ ruling the nations with a rod of iron, in Psalm 2 and in Revelation 19. And there's two places where it speaks of his people ruling with a rod of iron, and that's in Revelation 12. And it's also in the church of Thyatira, Revelation probably 3. But anyway, the point being, brothers and sisters, God is going to reign. You know, you can look up the concept of the 42nd generation. I'm sure some of you heard of that. But the fact is that when it says, and there are 14 generations in Matthew, and 14 unto 14 generations unto Christ, 14 generations, count them, there's only 13. The reason why is because this Christ, it says, and who shall declare his generation? He's cut off out of the land of the living. But there's a scripture in Psalms that said, and a seed shall serve him, and it shall be declared, and it shall be counted to him for a generation. Brother, you are the generation that the Christ, the head, and Christ the body, another generation that's going to serve God and manifest Christ like no generation has ever manifested Christ. The glory of this latter house will exceed the glory of the former house. Do you have that kind of heart, brothers and sisters? Are you willing to let God do that work within you? Are you willing to be that corn of wheat that falls into the ground and loses itself? And to see the transformation, I've seen oak trees in California that are 200 foot across, monstrous trees, and they came out of an acorn that lost its life. The transformation, the type and shadow of that cocoon, the death going on that takes place when that green worm goes into the cocoon and out comes this butterfly after the death. That seed goes into the ground. And never seen again in the form it was again. Never again to have its own autonomy and its own individuality. It's been lost. But out of it has come forth a new manifestation. And that manifestation is the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. It's the kingdom of God that's been birthed within you by the planting of God, by the born-again experience that he put his seed within you, the eternal seed of God planted within your heart. And out of it comes eternal life, not just for you, but for many, a hundredfold, a thousandfold. God's going to bring forth in a people a manifestation of glory you've never seen. But it's going to take a surrender, an absolute surrender. Do you want to see that resurrection life, brother? It isn't going to come to pass with American Christianity. It's going to come to pass with old-time religion except you take up your cross and deny yourself. You cannot be my disciple except you bear. That corn of wheat comes into the ground. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings to fruit, much fruit. And brother, there's a death that God is glorified in, because out of that death comes a manifestation of the glory and life of God through these earthen vessels, such as you can't comprehend. Are you that vessel? Are you one of those chosen ones in this hour that's going to set yourself apart and say, Father, let's get real, brutally honest with God. Forget the guile. Forget the deceit. Forget what people think. Forget walking before other people. Forget that you're a good old guy because everybody says so. Do business with Almighty God. It says Jesus, in the days of his flesh, offered up strong crying and prayers to him that was able to save him from death and was heard. He says, and was heard in that he, excuse me, I'm sorry. Jesus, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up strong prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears, and was heard in that he feared. And though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. Brothers and sisters, no resurrection without a death. No reigning without suffering. We're called, brothers, to bear the likeness of his death so that we can go into the likeness of his resurrection. And I say right now that that is the high calling. But this is what God's calling a people to right now. And if you, in your heart and in your desire, have that deep cry of the Spirit that is willing God will do the work if you're willing. He'll take you through if you're willing to go through the process. But I tell you what, there's a tremendous exposure. There's no darkness, no guile, no hiding, no nothing. Absolute painful exposure of every dark and evil thing that's in our nature, that has been hidden in the closets, under the bed, under the rug. It's all going to be revealed later. But I'll tell you what, you'll be a million times ahead if you'll get it dealt with now rather than later. Let's let God do a complete work. I think it was John G. Lake that said, for the sake of Christ's glory, for the sake of the lost, pay the price, get the anointing that breaks the yoke, sets the captives free. Let's be that people that will manifest Jesus Christ in this hour. That will be a part of that company that is going to rule the nations with their own heart.